Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Again, five former Nittany Lions invited to the Combine. Christian Hackenberg, Anthony Zettel, Carl Nassib, Austin Johnson, and Jordan Lucas. They'll all be invited to Indianapolis for the Combine later this month. No real surprises in there at all. And then there'll be Pro Day here at Penn State in March. So that'll get you up to date. The turf in Huluba Hall is going to be torn out April 25th. It'll be replaced with new field turf. The field turf has been in there for 13 years. So we're going to tear that out and put new field turf in. I'm trying to think if there's anything else on my list here. Nick Nevels, the heavyweight for Penn State Wrestling. The doors open to him, maybe wrestling tomorrow night. Now, they have to make a decision as to what to do. Do they, just keep him out of the lineup and that's it? Or do they throw him out there tomorrow night with the idea of closing the season with him at heavyweight? Something to think about and consider. Those are some of the news and notes that we have for you. In a few moments, Scott Radisic, a Populist, will join us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day.
Off to Wiggins, off the town screen. Wiggins stops, pops, 21-footer on the way. Oh, he got it! Andrew Wiggins with 20. 112-109. 13 of those have come here in the fourth.
And that's Mike Hartman with the call on the T-Wolves radio network as Andrew Wiggins knocks down the jump shot. He and Carl Anthony Towns, a nice 1-2 punch up front for the T-Wolves with Ricky Rubio running the point. And I went to a T-Wolves game when we were in Minnesota 2 years ago, and Rubio ran the point. And that's when they had Kevin Love. Love thoroughly impressed me. Inside out, face the basket, make shots. But Rubio couldn't shoot to save his soul, but man, can he pass. Wow, can he pass. So that's our play-by-play call of the day. Yesterday, when we were running down what we thought would be the top stories that really any sports fan should take a little bit of time to look into, and will be impactful stories for the year. Kevin's included the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. Are you sure about that one?
Big to me.
Yes, but none of the stories I put down yesterday where I sat back and said they were important to me, I said they're important to sports fans.
You said to me, and I quote, what are your top stories? You didn't say what do you think are the biggest stories to sports fans.
I was hoping that you would think big picture, but I will say this. You are the fan on the show. Okay, you're right. You're the fan, right?
That is more than accurate, yes. I would say that.
Obviously, I've got access to more information and things like that just by what I do. I mean, so just everybody understands the roles. I understand. You're a fan.
You're the bigger picture kind of guy. I'm not a big picture kind of guy.
Yeah, but that's because I'm around big picture more than you are. I think if you were around big picture more, then you would understand where I was coming from.
No, I think that's a very fair assessment. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not in the least a put down of anything, because I have access to more information, access to more reasons why, and I'm around more people that can give me those answers, or I can see them for myself. I think in that way. That's why sometimes, for example, some people will say, well, that's not right. And I'll say, no, that is right. And, you know, I'll give you a good example. The Shabazz Napier thing with food, where he went on that deal about, you know, I go to bed hungry sometimes. I'm looking around saying, what the heck is he talking about? Now, you as a fan would never know what I talked about until I brought it up. Fair? Hello? Did you leave?
No, Steve Williams. Quit. Steve Williams just walked into the studio getting ready for Shikalimi Wrestling at Tawanda, so I wanted to make sure he was all squared away. Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm saying the Shabazz Napier thing, when he talked about going to bed hungry sometimes. If I didn't have the constant access that I have, would you have thoroughly believed Shabazz Napier and where he was going?
Oh, no question, because I'm...
Right.
I mean, I don't know any better.
Right. Exactly. Okay? Exactly. That is not your fault at all. Zero. None. But because I have a different perspective, because I'm around it in a different way, I could sit back and say, excuse me, foul ball here. That's not true. That's not how it works. Are you kidding me? They throw out more food than would feed a village during the course of a season. I go to bed hungry. When? If you went to bed hungry, it was your fault. But everybody bought it. The one thing that came out of it that I liked, though, was that the 24/7 food, which is a loose way of putting it, it's not the right way of putting it, but walk-ons were allowed to be a part of it. Now, that part was a huge plus.
Well, didn't they also, Steve, change around what's considered a meal and what's not, too?
Well, yeah, but that's because they allowed, because you can go to nutrition bars anytime you want. They're all over campus, so it doesn't matter what a meal is anymore. That was you're talking about the bagel and the cream cheese.
Right. The bagel is a snack, but you throw cream cheese on it, it's a meal.
It's a meal, right. And that was an example of how absurd they are. But because now you can have access to food anytime, which is part of your training, that distinction isn't needed anymore. Fair enough? Yeah. Okay. Longtime friend. I think we go back 36 years. Won a national championship here, part of the national championship team, played a dozen years in the NFL with the Chiefs, Bills, Indianapolis Colts, and now is with Populous. Scott Radisic. Scott, welcome back. Great to have you with us here in the Sunbury Motor Studio.
It's good to be here. It's always good to be in State College.
Yeah.
It's always great coming back, whether it's for fun or for work.
Well, this is for work this time through.
Today's for work, yes.
Today is for work. I went through and I've done this before because I knew when you guys were hired. I just want to get just a lay of the land as to what you've done. Renovation and new. And you've done a lot of both. Baylor, for example, brand new.
Brand new stadium.
McLean Stadium.
Yep.
Kyle Field, which I saw a couple of years ago before it was renovated. You renovated that.
Right.
What's the process of evaluation that then brings you to presenting the figures you'll eventually present to them? What's that process like?
You know, it's a process that we've been using for 34 years at our company, where we look to gather a lot of input from all the various stakeholders. So it usually starts with a big goal setting and visioning session about what the aspiration is, you know, for the venue. And then you break down into a lot of conversations over weeks and weeks with various user groups to understand what their current condition is like and what's working well and what's not working well. And then kind of what do they need as they look into the future. And then we bring our industry kind of experience into that equation as well. And then you evaluate the existing facility to determine whether or not, you know, what is salvageable, what is good infrastructure, and what needs significant improvement. And then you go ahead and you create your options based on how do you maintain the existing building and insert the improvements and create the renovation opportunities that are there based on, again, all the user group interviews, fan input, spectator input, You know, here we're going to talk to the students. Or they'll be, we'll be reaching out to student athletes. You know, I know Sandy's had town hall meetings to reach out to the kind of the general population. I mean, you're collecting all this information to understand what people want and their experience of going to a stadium in this situation. And then you put those conceptual designs together, and then you look at what's it cost to do one and what's it cost to do the other, and then you evaluate it based on, you know, what's the end product going to look and feel like, what's the experience going to be like versus what's it going to cost to do it, is it financially achievable, and you put all that on the table to make a decision about what would be best in the short and long term, you know, future of the athletic department.
You talked about what's attainable, what's achievable. All right. Do you try to do pie in the sky first to the, and then whittle to realistic, or how do you approach that?
No, you kind of run parallel paths.
Okay, gotcha.
So we'll be, you know, Beaver Stadium, you know, a lot of times in the conversation, and as we're, again, we're talking about the athletic master plan that, right, that we're doing, mm-hmm, and we're looking at all 31 sports, we're looking at every venue that they have. And just the one that most people tend to ask, right, you about is Beaver Stadium.
I'm going to assume Pagula took 25, 30 seconds.
We had a few meetings. And it's a beautiful building. I mean, there's not much that you need exactly to do to it in the near future. It's right, fantastic.
Yeah.
But people tend, it's the building they're most familiar with.
Of course.
You know, it has.
Well, it's the one that's going to invoke the most passion. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
And it has a long history. Right. I mean, when you think about all the teams and all the players and the coaching history that came kind of through that building.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times as we're looking to evaluate new versus renovate, no matter what the facility is, you always look at the history and the tradition,
right,
as one of the intangible factors.
Right.
Of the evaluation process. So you're going to be looking at this renovation idea concurrent with the idea of a new building. So you don't start with one and whittle back.
Right.
You kind of look at kind of where they're located, what they look like, what are the amenities that are in them, mm-hmm, the survey that went out from the athletic department on Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center and Rec Hall, or various surveys that went out. You know, that information is critical because, mm-hmm, it helps to determine what type of amenity people want. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, all the whole host of general spectator amenities that you have to get right. And then there's the capacities for various hospitality areas and premium seating because of the revenue potential of those.
Right.
Not that we're trying to look to create a palace for only people who want, mm-hmm, premium amenities, but you're trying to create a financially sustainable, actionable plan, whether it's a new building or a renovated building.
Well, that already exists to a point in Beaver Stadium. You already have the luxury suites, and you already have the club seats as examples that were built in 2001. Now you're trying to now take it, okay, now what should it look like in 2020 and beyond?
That's right. Right?
So that's what you're trying to do, because that already exists and people are already paying into that.
And, you know, a big piece of this puzzle is also kind of the student body. You think they make up 21,000 people in the stadium. Right. Then you think of the current alumni from age 22 to 30, right, who, you know, half the stadium is made up of millennials. Mm. And, you know, I'm a baby boomer.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's kind
you
of
and me both.
And,
yeah,
and so a big part of designing facilities for our company is looking at the demographic breakdown of the fans who come to the games and what's the experience that they want. Because my experience is what I want may be significantly different than what, you know, a Gen Xer wants or what a millennial, right, wants. And so it's really important for us to always have our finger on the pulse of what's the current fan want and how's that changing and how does technology kind of affect that. Or that's why we're going to, you know, we will be having conversations with the students at some point here in the near future to just ask from a student perspective,
right,
you know, what's your experience like now and what would make it better? And when you come to the stadium, what do you want? And those things, those questions and those answers are really valuable for us because then we design the experience people want.
You were talking about designing the experience people want. One of the big initial renderings was Camden Yards for HOK, which is now popular.
Right.
Which was when it was built, obviously brand new, but incorporated the warehouse and also was what people refer to as a new old look.
Mm-hmm.
How important in the end to you will be what the look is based on what Penn State is since you grew up in this culture?
It'll be very important. It'll be very important. And when we design buildings on college campuses and when we've worked on Penn State's campus before, the campus is beautiful. They've, again, everything that President Spanier did in this growth pattern of buildings,
that's right.
They really developed some beautiful buildings on campus. So it continues to evolve and change, but it becomes more beautiful. And the open spaces between the buildings, they take a lot of pride in the way that they concentrate on developing those spaces between the buildings as much as the buildings themselves. So when you come onto a campus as an architect and you start to think about what the look and feel of a building is, it's a long process. And again, in this master plan, there'll be a conceptual design that in no way will be what the final building will look like, because that process is one that entails diving into a lot of the campus heritage and character, local site influences, history and tradition of the team and the stadium, and the parameters that have this inspirational quality that when you start to present the design, you say, these are the inspirations that we had that kind of took us to this material being used in this way, articulated in this fashion to become, you know, this stadium. So, but it's very important the way that campus has grown and evolved in the new buildings and the material palettes and the way that they use those materials and just the natural topography and all those things, even the vistas to Mount Nittany. That's a huge thing. So sometimes vistas or site constraints, like in Camden Yards, for an example, we had the warehouse. It was a constraint that we worked with,
right.
But incorporate in a way to become a signature element.
Right.
So you kind of, sometimes those site constraints can actually make for the hardest jobs, but also at the end of the day, some of the most rewarding.
Because the stadium is dramatically different than when you played it. And you talked about site vistas. When you ran off the field, you could probably see Mount Nittany over the south stands when you ran off the field at that particular time. Now, of course, if you go in there, that's covered by the building
right.
at the end. I got to get this one in here, which is completely off the Penn State topic.
Yes.
And that is Tottenham.
Tottenham.
Okay. And that's only because you and I were talking before. You got to tell everybody what the field concept is.
Oh.
Because that is so cool.
So we are currently, I believe the construction has just started on the new soccer stadium for the English Premier League team, Tottenham. It's been a project that's been in the planning and design stages for years. And it's been an interesting project that I've been able to be involved in from the periphery, because the whole time that they were designing, we were designing the building, that that client was talking to the NFL about a potential location where the NFL team in London would play games.
Right.
And so we had several meetings, you know, at the league offices in New York City, where we talked about what the building was like and how it would adapt, how it would be perfect, because it had to be perfect for the NFL game, but it also had to be perfect for, you know, a Premier League soccer pitch. And so one of the characteristics of it is that there'll actually be two field levels. There'll be an upper field that's the natural grass soccer pitch, and there'll be a lower field that's the artificial surface for the NFL games. And so when the soccer team plays, they play on the grass surface, because the sight lines and the way that you do the seating bowl for soccer is a little bit different.
Right.
But whenever the NFL would come in to play a game, that first top pitch will separate into three pieces, mm-hmm. and it will slide under the south stands, mm-hmm. and then what will be sitting under it will be the artificial surface for the NFL team.
Yeah, okay. That's really
and
cool.
We'll have grow light. There'll be grow lights underneath the plate, the kind of container where the natural grass field slides, and we can keep it in that area with the grow lights for 3 or 4 days.
Right,
as the longest amount of time that it can stay right. in it before it has to come back out.
Right, and and for those who've seen Arizona, for example, Arizona Stadium in Glendale. If you walk into it right now, you'll say, "Well, where's the field? It's all concrete. That's all it is concrete." The field is growing outside, and they hit a button, and the entire field goes in. But this is going to separate into sections.
It needs, because, yeah, in Arizona, when we did that, when we designed that building yeah. for the Cardinals, we were able to create a slot in the end zone so that the tray that the field sits on could slide out in one piece. Well, here, because there's a lot more seating in the end zone in Tottenham
right.
than there's very little seating
That's
in
right.
Arizona.
That's right.
So in order to support the dead and live loads for that, we needed additional column lines. So in order to get the field past the columns, we had to kind of split it so that the mm-hmm. fields can slide between right. the columns. So we had to do it a little bit differently. Right.
Just so he's talking about the difference between a football field and a soccer field. When they came in to do a site survey here in 1993 for the World Cup, they were going to have to build up dirt that would have actually covered the first five rows on the bottom of Beaver Stadium to then put grass over it. It was not going to be simple, oh, we're playing on Beaver Stadium. They were going to have to build up the dirt high enough over the wall, cover the first five rows all the way around, and then put the grass on top of it. So,
yeah, in fact, when we designed Wembley Stadium over right. in London, at the time it was conceived, they thought this might be the venue where we'd host the Olympic track and field. Hmm. Well, we would lose like the first 20 rows right. of the stadium, build the platform to put the track and field on, and it would be demountable, and then you'd take it away. They eventually decided not to do that and build the new, we designed the new Olympic Stadium in London, and then they used Wembley for soccer.
You've looked at all the venues here, and you continue to look at all the venues.
Thank you, yes, continuing to look at the venues.
Because it's a long process. This is not a short-term deal.
Correct.
But here's the next part. I think people need to understand that what you're going to eventually do with whatever here is also going to be a long process. It's not going to be, hey, a year from now, everything's taken care of, all 31 sports. How important is it for people to realize this is a phased-in situation across the board for all the sports you're looking at?
Oh, I mean, and I've said this before, I've been working, since my retirement from the NFL, I've been working in the architectural world for 24 years.
Right.
And this is the largest, and I spent most of my time in collegiate athletics, mm-hmm. along with the NFL. And this is the largest athletic master plan that our company's ever done. It's the largest one that I think has ever been performed. 31 sports over all these venues. So it's not realistic to think that the minute the plan's unveiled that, you know, within 12 months or even a year and a half or 2 years, you're going to start seeing all these cranes and all this construction going on. You know, there has to be a process for tiering the sports and the tiering the projects right. that the sports have. And as Sandy has said, you know, any project that gets identified that they can fund or that a donor is interested in helping to kind of advance that project, mm-hmm. then that'll happen.
Right.
But again, we'll tier the projects, you know, as we look at them in terms of, you know, athletic revenues, the biggest needs for the teams. And we'll look at it that way. So it'll be a very comprehensive plan that will look over the next 15 years. And there are even ideas in the plan that says beyond 15 years, right. here's a space to do, here's a location to make this change that not only does it work in the long-term planning for athletics, mm-hmm. but it also fits in the long-term planning for campus as academic needs continue to expand.
Scott, I have a lot more I want to get two on this, so I'm going to hold you over. That's okay. We're going to do this into the final half hour as well. I know we need to take a break. Scott Radisic rejoins us after the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm going to bring in Scott Radisic back in a few moments here to close out here. Just a couple quick notes. Tottenham, for people who don't realize, is in North London. In fact, the singer Adele was born in Tottenham in North London, as an example. White Lane is where they play their games. Well, they're going to be building a new stadium there that Scott Radisson's group, Populous, is building. And the NFL has a 10-year deal with Tottenham's new stadium. It's a 10-year deal to play two games per year in that stadium. So I thought I'd throw that in as an addendum for everybody. Let's see. The sports bozo of the day, the Phoenix Suns. Hey, let's fight each other on the bench during the game. Marquise Morris and those guys started brawling on the bench. It looked like Major League 2 in the Indians' dugout. Wow. That's our sports bozos of the day. So, Kevin, I hope I cleared up where the Tottenham thing.
Yes, I am. I'm now good to go.
Okay, no, but again, for those who are wondering, okay, fine, because people aren't going to know where things are in England. I understand that. And it's in North London. Its most famous resident was who was born there is Adele. The stadium they're building there is going to be unbelievable. They should have it done by August of 2018. And the significant part for the American sports fan, of course, you know, there are people here who follow EPL, obviously, but the significant part for the American sports fans, the NFL has a 10-year agreement with this stadium in North London.
And that exists now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Two games a year that they'll play there. All right. Let's bring Scott Radisson back in, former Nittany Lion. Critical player in the 1982 National Championship team, played in the NFL for a dozen years. He was the 34th overall pick in the NFL draft by the Kansas City Chiefs. Then he played with the Buffalo Bills, the Indianapolis Colts, and Joe Paterno often talked about how difficult his major was at Penn State, often. And Scott's last year, his senior year, was 1983 here, which was also my first full year as a member of the Penn State Sports Network football team. So that's how far back the two of us go. Scott, building it right the first time. We know for basketball, the Jordan Center was not built right, and it's something that they've been trying to overcome for a long time here. It just wasn't. It's just a fact of life. I've been around to enough arenas in my lifetime where I know when it's built right, when it's not. The importance of you of making sure that whatever you do with the facilities here, that they've got a 30 to 50-year shelf life of availability.
Sure. You know, basketball, when you look at...
And I don't just mean that building. I mean with all these projects. I'm talking about the whole thing, that when you're done, we're giving you a 30 to 50-year venue.
That is always the intent when we're designing new facilities, whether they're not on a college campus or they are on a college campus. You know, the one thing about colleges and universities is because they're in not only the business of education, but the business of having facilities to support the education, that there is infrastructure to construct projects, maintain facilities, and do all that. So the quality of venue that you typically design on a college campus can be a much higher quality venue. It tends to be higher quality, longer lasting, more sustainable, all those things, because the campus wants to be good stewards of its you know, resources. It wants to have sustainable buildings. You know, they want to be highly functional for whatever the academic or athletic purpose is in it. And so, really, there's already a standard set, especially at Penn State University, for what it means to develop and design a building on the campus. So, yes, we're going to look for those long-term kind of features whenever you look at this. These are not short-term solutions.
Tell us a little bit about the Lash project, because the team's going to have to dress over during the spring at Beaver Stadium.
Right.
And then they're actually going to be one of the few teams that's get on a bus to go to practice at their own facility, because you're working inside there right now. So what were some of the important elements inside Lash Building that were said to you right away, said, this is really important, that's why we need to have this part happen, especially with the locker room area?
Oh, yeah. You know, the Lash project was my first project that I had after retiring from the NFL. And we were privileged enough to be able to design that building. Well, that was came online in 99.
That's right.
So that building's almost 17 years old now, which is hard to believe,
right?
You know, because you and I aren't even 17 years old. So how can we have a project that's 17 years
old,
right?
That's right.
And so there were some things that just needed updated. It's got great bones, as people say, but there were some things that needed updated. So the first phase of work, which we didn't have anything to do with, was looking at the lobby and the main team meeting room and the nutrition center. Now, the phase of work that we're involved in was focused more on football. It's the locker room. It's the wet areas. It's the equipment room. Right. And it's the hydrotherapy area. So, to me,
that's a training area.
And, you know, we're making some minor improvements to the training room.
Right.
But really, it's focused on hydrotherapy and,
right.
And the locker room. And the equipment room, because the equipment room just not functioning. I mean, in today's game, the way the game was played 20 years ago,
right.
The number of uniform changes, and that's a little bit different here, but just the number, the amount of equipment they have is different. It's changed. Mm-hmm. So that space needed to become enlarged and updated. The locker room, although it was fantastic back in 1999 when it opened,
right.
When you start to think about how it compares, what recruits see, how's it function, and what do recruits see, then it wasn't really up to par. And so this project was really focused on creating an experience, you know, not only functional, but also one that was much more dynamic. Mm-hmm. The lockers will get wider. They'll get taller. They'll get deeper. We'll have, you know, a new ventilation system that every locker gets ducted so that it exhausts to make sure that, you know, you get rid of all of those you know, the odors and the smells from kind of working out in the locker
right.
room.
You and I know what,
we all know what that's like.
You and I both know what that means.
We all know what that's like. We've contributed to it. And then the wet areas get improved. And, you know, one of the things that the building was, one of the biggest changes in college athletics when it comes to athlete training and muscle recovery has been hydrotherapy.
That's right.
And really, there was very minimal hydrotherapy in the original building. So now we're going to be able to expand it with the hot and the cold tubs and the lap pools and the things that are going to help kind of athletes recover is really the main aspect of that. So from a functional standpoint of when the team is kind of working in it every day, I know it's difficult now for them because they're operating out of some temporary areas.
Yeah.
But by the time training camp runs around to get those areas finished so that now not only is it going to be you know, an incredibly appealing thing to a recruit that comes in to see this contemporary area, but it's going to function in a way that functions so much better than it does today.
Just so people realize that Greenberg, which was built obviously beforehand, Penn State football was in Greenberg for 17 years before then Lash was built. So the time was right to do it just based on natural attrition.
Oh, I'll tell you what, when we designed the original building, when it came online in 99, everybody in the country wanted to come and see what Penn State had just done because it was by far the best football training facility in collegiate athletics. And then over time, it's still a great building. It's incredibly functional for the way the coaches and players get to interact in their meeting rooms and all that kind of stuff. It's just that some of the areas have become a little bit too small and some of the finishes are a little outdated. And so it has to be able to function, number one. And then, two, it has to be able to help recruit, you know, the next athlete that comes to campus.
Every project is of singular importance to you. It means a lot because your reputation rides on each one. You want Tottenham, for example, to be spectacular where people are talking about it. You want Kyle Field to be spectacular people are talking about it. For you, how personal is this one?
This is very personal. I mean, I've never had a project that has been quite this personal. I mean, I love all my clients. I mean, I love all the projects that I do because the great thing about collegiate athletics and the people on college campuses, and especially athletic directors and people in athletic administration, is they have such a sense of stewardship of doing the right thing for student athletes and doing the right things for their fans. And, you know, that's a really positive message, and it's a really great environment to work in. And so I've had the privilege for, like I said, for 24 years to work all over the country in different colleges and universities. But, you know, I came to Penn State in 1980.
Yeah.
So I spent more time in State College, Pennsylvania than I spent anywhere else in my life. Even though I lived in Indianapolis and Buffalo and now Kansas City, when you think about, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh and moving around, you know, where's the what's the foundation? Like, where's the rock? Like, where do you call home? Yeah, I call State College.
Sure.
Because I spent more time here. So to come back and be entrusted with projects on campus and from the athletic department, you know, you never want to get a project because they said you were a former student athlete here.
No.
That's not why you want a project. You want a project because people look at you and say, you know, I've got some issues and I got some questions and I need to call Scott
right.
because I know he's going to be able to guide us through the process and make sure we do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And we have a team of a dozen people, mm-hmm. you know, in across the country who are working on this master plan on any given day. So it's a large group. It's a big team. There's a lot to look at. And so it's very important to recommend and to conduct the process in a way that people are very proud of it. It's exhaustive. It's thorough.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when they make their decisions, they've investigated all the various options and know why they've decided to do what they want to do.
Finally, and then I'll let you go because you have a plane you have to catch. We talked about Lash's locker room, but part of what you're going to do in Beaver State is also going to be the Penn State football team locker room. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be part of what you're thinking about here as well because it's part of the full renovation. I took a full tour of TCF Bank Stadium.
Another project that I did. Right.
Yes, exactly. Right. I took a full tour is right before it opened. We were out there for basketball, so they took us. Jeff Kaiser took us everywhere, yep. which included the locker room.
Right.
And if I recall off the top, one thing you do, you walk in. It's almost like a museum hall of fame when you walk into the left, if I recall it correctly, and then the lockers and all the way around. This is a part the fans won't see. But it's something that recruits will see, and it's something the players will live in on game day. Is that another important part of this that you're going to consider, even though it's, you know, there are other parts of this that are very important?
It's a very big part of this project. And, you know, not only do we look to design and create buildings that are functional and operationally, you know, successful and integrate into campus character, and they're beautiful, but we also have to develop buildings that recruit student athletes. And that's something that's a little different in college athletics and professional sport because, yeah, there's free agency in professional sport, but recruiting that student athlete is what helps every program to continue to be successful. Mm-hmm. And also the buildings have to be able to generate revenue, which is just a part of the business of what we do as well. So it's really important to get all the fan stuff right first. Like, that's got to be first right. and foremost. In a competition venue like the stadium, we want people to come and have such a great experience that they don't ever want to think about not being here on a Saturday. Like, we have to go there
exactly.
because it's so great.
Exactly.
And then, two, we have to look at all the areas that the football team operates in and that it will recruit from as much. And we got to look at how the building generates revenue. So all three of those are really key. In Minnesota, that was a really unusual type of locker room. It was almost 60 yards long.
Yes.
The biggest locker room that I've been a part of in collegiate athletics, right. or actually anywhere. And it was, you know, in a shape, kind of an oval, like a football.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, so there's a reference to football, and it was really important in Minnesota. With all due respect, they haven't had quite the success that some of the other Big Ten schools have had in football. And Tim Brewster, the coach at the time, who was, by the way, was a tight end at Illinois, came out in 84, same year
right.
I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said, we really need to have a showpiece in here
right.
that will attract a recruit because their training facility wasn't that strong.
Right.
And now they had a brand new stadium. You know, here at Beaver Stadium, I don't think we need a locker room that's that big.
Right.
And I don't think our attitude at Penn State is the same right. there because, you know, a lot of student athletes that come to Penn State, you know, they come for a reason, and it's not about the size
right.
of the locker room.
But it still has to say Penn State.
But it still has to say Penn State.
It still has to say what the branding and the image of what Penn State football is that attracts a Penn State football player.
It has to be. Everything we do for any of these sports, we have to make sure that it's authentic
right.
to the Penn State brand and the history of what Penn
volleyball,
State stands for.
Wrestling, doesn't, basketball,
exactly.
soccer, right? Yeah, right, right.
Exactly. One of the best meetings that we had through this initial 5-6 month process has been sitting down with some of the student athletes from the Student Athlete Advisory Board and talking to them about why they came to Penn State and what's their experience been like at Penn State and how's it different than what you imagined? And it was just one of the most refreshing and rewarding programming meetings that we had, right, because you see these young men and women who say things that seem wise beyond their years.
Right.
And it just makes, as a Penn Stater, it makes you proud to see that this is what is happening at Penn State right now, and these people are going to be coming out into the working world, and it's really touching to see.
Did they give you answers that you probably would have given if you were sitting there, and did they give you answers that you didn't?
Some were what I may have said, and yes, some were completely different.
Wow.
Yeah. And one of them was, you know, her dad played on the team with me in 82, so in the championship. So she had a different perspective than, you know, some of the other student athletes who didn't have any tie into Penn State until they showed up here as a student. So it's just the young men and women that come out of this university are just fantastic. And it's such a great place to call home.
It is.
Yeah.
Scott, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Pleasure, Steve. Always. Mm-hmm.
Scott Radisic joining us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. He is leading on what they're going to do at Penn State with facilities, and he'll be giving them the options as to what to do with Beaver Stadium. This will be the first of many times he's on the show, but this now, I think, sets the table for you on a big picture item that'll be one of the more talked about items of the summer once about July comes around and they announce which way they're going with all of this. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I hope you found the Scott Radisic interview. Scott joined us here in the Sunbury Motors studio today for the entire hour. He's the pivotal guy in all of this. He's the one that's going to tell Penn State what all the options are in every venue, from Rec Hall to the Jordan Center to Jeffrey Field to the McCoy Natatorium. And obviously the one that the vast majority of people care about, that is Beaver Stadium. What are the options and how much will it cost? That he's the one that's going to be the one giving out all those numbers and what is possible. That's how important he's going to be, not only this year, but years down the road. The interview of the past hour set the table for other interviews we're going to do with him as all of this comes to fruition.